Well, this is Money Talks. So let's
sure it is.
let's try to bring it back here a little bit.
Any doubt?
In case there was any confusion.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this case study a little bit. So every week, obviously, we do a case study, and we at least for a few minutes try to talk about a financial planning topic that we see fairly frequently. And mm-hmm. and Sean and DJ, I know you guys see this stuff on a daily basis. But this week, what we wanted to talk about was a situation that's extremely common, where you've got a married couple. You've got Sean and Robin. 51 and 45 years old. They've got three children, two daughters and a son. The son, the oldest, at 17. The girls are 13 and 12, so they've got a little bit of time left. But the 17-year-old's a senior in high school, going to graduate this summer, attend college in the fall of 2016. And there's just in reality, there's a lot of stress and anxiety about paying for it. You know, how are they going to go about funding college? You know, you've got all these studies that show the volume of debt. We just talked about it off the air. I guess for the first time this year now, you've got more student loan debt in this country than credit card debt, which is just staggering to think about.
Absolutely.
By itself. But what do they need to be thinking about? Obviously, they've been saving some. They've got some 529 plan assets, but to be honest, not much. It's $9,000 there. I mean, what are we looking at here? How do we think about this conversation?
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that you don't want to derail your retirement for your children's college.
Yeah.
And that's
first and foremost. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, you know, you hear time and time about what the federal government doesn't do for you. And FAFSA, that's a free application, folks.
Yeah.
They're helping us out, right?
Yeah, and their situation with college costs, they're looking at $58,000 a year for him, just for the son. And then the other two coming up, they're going to be going to high school and facing college with very little in savings.
Exactly.
You have no choice but to apply for some kind of benefits, mm-hmm. and you do that through the FAFSA.
Which is FAFSA, so abbreviation, right?
It's a free application for federal student aid.
Gotcha.
Free.
And those who have kids in college know that term, and it's very
it's every January.
This is not new. Yes. This is not new knowledge. No. If you've dealt with this.
No, right. But really, the only option they have is applying for these grants or obviously scholarships you can mm-hmm. get through applying for the FAFSA, and student loans. Really, that's where all the debt problems have come. Mm-hmm. I mean, college costs have soared so high that you're almost forced to take out student loans.
Right.
So navigating that is tricky.
Yeah, so it's important to have the conversation. What do you want to do when you grow up, right? We're all in high school. That's what the big thing, going into the Navy, going in the Army, mm-hmm. do what you want to do, ROTC. So, one, what is it that you want to do, and where can you go? What college or mm-hmm. institution can you go to mm-hmm. that will give you the education needed without
the exorbitant cost
going overboard on the student loan application? So that's something else to consider. So I think what we could do is we can run through maybe some of the parts of the FAFSA and see, you know, maybe what accounts,
what assets
are
counted
and not counted.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to actually do FAFSA planning, and there are certain assets on here that count towards it and against you, if you will, mm-hmm. and then there's some that don't at all.
Right.
So to your point, DJ, you know, what's not counted when you're filling out the FAFSA is the 401k, Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, anything in your retirement accounts is not counted against you as an asset.
So let me be sure I'm clear, just and for everybody listening. So this FAFSA exercise,
yes.
it has to do, it's a calculation. Basically, so it's not a hey, I need to apply for a $100,000 loan. It is I need to apply for aid,
yes.
and they're going to do a calculation to determine how much you qualify for,
right?
Exactly. Based
so
on what you've got,
your assets, and they're going to look at your tax return from the year previous.
Okay.
Okay, so it's really good if you try to finish your tax returns, you know, earlier in the year, it's better because you have to do it if you don't. So obviously, so for example, coming into 2016, you know, you typically can start filling out the FAFSA in January. But if you haven't done your 15 tax return yet, you have to do an estimate and then eventually give them your real number.
Okay.
So if you fill it out earlier in the year, it's better.
Okay.
Think about it. First come, first serve. There's a large bucket of money. He who gets it first
that's right.
takes it
so
home.
So the sooner you can get your application
you get it in.
That's
okay.
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So you said 401k and Roth, traditional IRAs.
Right. Your retirement accounts don't count. Your home equity of your primary home does not count against you either.
Okay.
If you have a family business and you're more than 50% owner and you have less than 100 full-time employees, that does not count against you.
Correct.
And anything, any cash values you have in life insurance do not count against you either.
Okay.
Okay. So they're looking at things such as second homes, you know, any kind of brokerage accounts you have, mutual funds, cash, bank accounts, custodial accounts in the children's name. So anything in the child's name counts 20% against them, if you will, versus a parent is only a little over 5%.
Okay.
So they're looking at that as well.
Right. And it's important to remember, if you do withdraw funds from an IRA or the Roth the following year, that income stream could be held against you
Correct.
Next year.
Gotcha.
Right. So I actually had an interesting client situation where they had gone to an individual who was well-versed in FAFSA and in planning for it, per se. So they made recommendations to – they had all this money in a cash account or a brokerage account. They told them to go pay off their house, and then they told them to go buy life insurance policies. So they pretty much got, you know, invested, if you will, or moved all of their investable assets out of their name. I don't know that I'd necessarily recommend that, but it's something that, you know, is looked at. Also, if you're thinking, so for example, if you're going to retire in the next few years, you know, you may have RSUs, stock options, things that are going to pay out to you, bonuses. You may want to think about delaying retirement for a few years, as crazy as that sounds, to try to get more benefit out of it.
Just so you qualify for more funding.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So that would be something to think about as well.
Sure. Well, and so it's a so then you've got the debt that comes with it, right? So I guess
and
what I thought you were going to say earlier, DJ, and it may have been what you were trying to say, is that, you know, there needs to be some logic applied to volume of debt versus the nature of the degree you get, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, all in favor of getting those degrees that maybe don't have as high of income associated with them, but it's going to make it tough to pay it back. And you can't bankrupt out of student loan debt, right?
No, you cannot. That is the only debt you can't bankrupt. Correct.
Yeah. So you've got this. Once you've taken it,
it's it. You have to. Pay
you got
to
pay it back.
And the parents, you know, stand by on signing or co-signing on these student loans. I mean, help them pay it off. But once you put your name to it as well.
Yeah, there's no way to dissolve it.
That's your debt, too.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, and we'll want to stress this again, that because it comes up a lot, right, is the, well, should I save for retirement or should I save for college? And the truth of the matter is we've just talked here for most of a segment about the reality of the fact that you can borrow money for college education, but you can't really borrow money for retirement.
No.
If you don't have the money set aside for retirement, then you're going to have some issues. You're going to have to keep working.
You will.
Exactly. So.
All right, well, on that note, let's take a quick break. Again, you're listening to Money Talks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.